Welcome to Boating Insights. This is a podcast about achieving your boating dreams, brought to you by Above and Beyond Boating. We deliver the leading courses to skipper your own boat.
Well, hi there. Welcome back to Boating Insights. Today, we are lucky enough to have been joined by Nick Olson of Predict Wind, who's going to share some insights from Predict Wind with some really interesting stuff about what you can do at the cutting edge of using weather and apps on your boat at the moment. So Nick, thanks so much for being here today, mate.
Yeah, thanks very much for having us. It's a real pleasure to be here.
Now, what we're going to do, just crack straight in. Could you just give us a quick insight? Obviously, some of the people listening are already very much seasoned Predict Wind users. Other people probably never used it before. Can you just give us a quick kind of overview of what Predict Wind actually is and how people use it, what the benefit of using it is for the boating community?
Yeah, so we're a private weather company based out of New Zealand, but we cover the world. And, we run our own weather models. And then we also have other weather data that we bring in that's often paid data. We have, sort of what we consider to be the best weather data through different weather models, and each of them having different strengths. And then beyond that, we have a bunch of tools. So the tools are sort of all there to help people better understand what they're looking at and to, save them time and get better results from what they're looking at.
Thanks, mate. And just a couple of quick ones just to make sure we don't lose some of the audience. Number one, you mentioned about New Zealand. Can you just clarify if this is something that people can use outside of New Zealand, or is this sort of something you use around the world, or is it really just the Southern Hemisphere?
So, 100%, it's global. So all of the stuff we do is global. In fact, our largest customer base is in the US, Europe, then Australia. So we do have a lot of Australian customers. And so, we're just New Zealanders that run it.
Got it. And run it very well, for what it's worth. And then the other thing, just boating. So, very much the name Predict Wind. Is this only for sailors, or is this used by a sort of broader spectrum of, kayakers, jet ski, fishing, powerboat, or is it mainly just sailors that are using this service?
It's funny you say that. So, originally it was started in conjunction with the America's Cup. My boss, John, he was the weatherman for the Swiss team, Lingy. It did start out that way. But the reality is, I'm a real keen fisherman. We service the marine leisure industry. So, fishing, just power boating, jet ski, winging, kiting, just, anything on the water. We do focus on the water, but we're not limited to sailing by any means.
Awesome. Thanks, mate. Now, you mentioned about weather models a minute ago. So just sort of 101 higher level stuff here. Let's not assume anything throughout. So those of you that are super experienced, by the way, no apologies, really. We're not going to assume anything just to avoid leaving any gaps in people's knowledge. So hopefully there shouldn't be assumed knowledge here. So Nick, can you just help us understand just a little bit about, you mentioned different weather models. So what does that actually mean? Like when people are going into the service and they see there's, how many are there now? How many weather models have you got?
So we have six main models, and then in a couple of different locations around the world, we have some regional models. So, in America, we have a rapid refresh model and the NAM, which are both the rapid refresh is sort of, as its name says, it refreshes hourly, and the NAM is just a regional model. And then up in Europe we have two more high-res models beyond what we have up in Europe as well. So, but rest of the world, probably go back to the beginning of your actual question there, about weather models. So when you look at the news and you see the isobars and you see the map, you're actually just generally just looking at one weather model. That that's not an absolute of what it is. How a weather model works is that you collect what we call initial conditions. So that's like essentially a snapshot of the world, and we do that twice a day, Some of those other models, those rapid refresh models, they'll use ways of collecting that data more often. And so, yeah, each of these weather models will have this initial conditions file. And then from there, you actually feed that into an algorithm. And that's where the model comes from. So, for instance, we have the PWG and the PWE model. And they are, we predict wind, we run those twice a day. They're actually the same model. But what happens there is they have different initial conditions go into them. And so the outputs can be pretty different just because of the way that that snapshot is formed into a file and the information that goes into it. So, yeah, all the weather models do give slightly different outputs. And you know, and the further away you get from the time that the weather model was run, so what we call the runtime, mm-hmm. the further away you get, you often see that what they think is going to happen, you know, changes. You know, that one model might think this and another might think that. And it doesn't take much for them to start diverging. And so that's why, you know, you always want to get the most recent weather model you can. You don't want to rely on old information because, you know, 3 days from now, things have changed. And, you know, you just, yeah, your best forecast is the most recent one.
Yeah, got it. Thank you. That's some really good insights. And that's going to lead in nicely, hopefully, to my next question. What I'm looking for is a bit of understanding around the interplay between routing and observations from a planning perspective. So as an example, if you're looking at different routes being suggested by these weather models, and so just sort of 101 for audiences. So when we say routing, literally mean that you're telling PredictWind, I'm here, I want to go there. This is some information about my boat, how fast it goes and conditions I might want to avoid and certain parameters like that. And then it's giving you some suggested routes that you might be able to take based on different weather forecasts. And so when you're going back to the questions, when you're sort of monitoring the observations in the lead up to departure, how does that work? Like, how can you sort of use the observations to help you pick a weather model in the lead up to departure? Or does it not work like that? Would you suggest something else?
So there's a couple of ways around it. I mean, and it probably lends into sort of how you would digest all of the models that we have, you know? So what we tend to look for in the first instance is consensus. So, you know, are a bunch of them saying the same thing? And if they are, then you've got more confidence that that's going to happen. And you'll see that in a route. So, you know, and when we're talking about routing, we can be, you know, this can be for a powerboat or a yacht. You know, we have different setups for each of them. And yeah, generally you will see in the initial, you know, in the shorter term, you will see a consensus in the routing or, you know, and even in your models, you know. But as you get further away, you will see them split apart, same as what I said before, that they think slightly different things. And so you keep updating it. So far as observation goes, well, that's a really good way of sort of validating, okay, well, maybe they're not all the same. Which one is doing the best job now? Because obviously an observation is a real-time thing. And so which model is actually closest to what I'm seeing now? And that's when that's what you can use the observations for. So in the observations page that we have, you can actually change the models on the map and have them overlay, you know, have that overlaid with your observations and see what they're doing. You can actually go back in time as well and see that, you know, has this model been doing a good job for, you know, the last 6-12 hours versus the observations. So yeah, observations are really nice way to sort of, you know, look at what's been happening and what's happening now. And then, you know, you can assume if the model's doing a good job now, chances are it's going to at least be doing a good job for the next 12 hours. But beyond that, I would definitely be looking for consensus across the models.
Brilliant. Thank you. I think that was a really helpful answer. Now, the next one, Iridium. So, the Iridium Go, or those kind of Iridium Explorer now, relatively low cost method of getting a satellite connection on your boat. You're not going to be streaming Netflix with this probably, but it does allow you to do certain file downloads and things such as a grid file. Nick, can you kind of help people understand a bit about this? They might not even know what grid file is. So just if you're sort of out of range of getting your 4G, 5G on your phone, how can you use one of these sort of basic systems like an Iridium or something similar to download grid files? And you know, what does that mean? And you know, why would people even care, I suppose? Can you just help them understand a bit about that, mate?
Yeah, so a grid file is just simply the format that we put weather maps into, essentially. So it's just the name of that file that we send across. Basically, anytime you're going out of, you know, cell range, or even if you think it's going to be a bit iffy, we have two different systems. And so we have the offshore app, which obviously you use when you're going out of range. And so that'll save any of the data that you download, that'll save that offline. And so, as sort of mentioned before, you know, you need to keep getting new weather data. You don't want to be, you know, go and sail across to the islands and just download a forecast before you leave. And then by the time you get there, go, oh, it wasn't very good, guys. It was, you know, day six, we got smashed. So you need to be have a way of updating, you know, your weather routing and your grid files, which sort of help you to visualize what's going on, along with what the routing suggests you should do. And that, you know, there's a whole lot of information in there, like wave states and, you know, is there going to be high levels of cape or whatever, which could be, in rain, and that could be an indicator of thunderstorms coming and stuff like that. So there's all this information that you really want to get to sort of make good decisions. And so you use, you know, something like, you know, we have an Iridium Go and Iridium Go Exec. And they, they're just a satellite device that you can download weather over. It's what is nice about them is that they, you know, they have a battery. They can be portable. You know, if you need to jump on a life raft or something, you can take them with you. You know, there's a guy that got rescued from a life raft the other day, and no one had heard from him for, you know, sort of a month. And we don't know, still don't know the story with that one, but, you know, he was using a Starlink, and we assume when whatever happened to his boat that he no longer had comms. And weirdly, he didn't have it. Seemed to have he looks like he just had a PLB. So, you know, we don't know what happened to his proper EPIRB. But anyway, yeah. So being able to have something that you can take with you in an emergency, or if you're going somewhere remote on land, you can take it with you as well. So yeah, they're a nice little system. Just allows you to get weather data when you're anywhere, basically.
Yeah, awesome. And so, just kind of a couple of key points I'll pull out of that is, when we talk about something like an Iridium, we're basically, it's a relatively low cost, obviously boat, so the relatively comes before any low cost, but relatively low cost way of getting a kind of satellite connection so that you can, particularly from this perspective, obviously there's a whole bunch of things you might want to do with that, but particularly get up-to-date current weather information, observations as they've changed, and maybe kind of changes to your suggested route to keep you safe. So yeah, I think awesome. It's a really interesting field, and it's sort of from a seamanship perspective, unless you're trying to prove something that you know you want to be out there and out of contact, and that's fine and people do it and love it, but it's a decision you want to be making if you're choosing to go out and not have access to this information to help you kind of make key navigation decisions when you're maybe doing multi-day passages, as you say, out to islands in the oceans and so on. Now, as we kind of progress into these further afield areas where we're not just looking at tides, but currents as well, can you just talk a bit about the current? So I know you can have current information for the routing. Is that only for the paid subscriptions when you're using PredictWind that the current goes in, or can everyone access that with any of the levels of service? How does the kind of current side of things feed into everything then?
Ocean Data is a paid service, and you know, so is any of our weather routing stuff. You need a paid subscription. So we do have a a pretty awesome freemium version, we call it. So if you want to get in there and have a go, you can do that. There's definitely no limits there. But yeah, if you want to get into using these tools, which sort of help you keep you alive out there, they are paid services. The ocean data is paid. But the weather routing will use that. There's two different levels there, actually, and the weather routing will use that in both levels. Mm-hmm. But it's in the higher level that you can see the ocean data. You know, depending on where you are, there's some places around Australia with some pretty strong currents. So being able to see what they're doing, because that can make a massive difference to your sea state. And so, yeah, really worth having. Something that we are in the middle of putting out at the moment is we're actually going to do high-resolution tidal currents for the whole world. So, if you're into fishing and you hear that, that's actually super exciting. So, you know, here in Auckland, you know, actually seeing those high-resolution tidal currents moving around, because obviously I've seen it, is amazing. You know, like, I mean, depending on what sort of fishing you're doing, knowing which way the current's going, you know, oh, I've got the current with the wind together, you know, that's a nice way to fish. You know, fishing with the wind against the current is horrible. So being able to see that sort of stuff in the near future is going to be pretty awesome.
Yeah, awesome. That does sound exciting, actually. Thank you. And then sort of feeds in from that, actually, just three key features with PredictWind that might appeal to all boaters. So when people are using it, you know, I think PredictWind's actually probably a bit of an anomaly, whereas most people are actually using the majority of the options available to them at whatever level they subscribe to. But often you hear about stuff with a lot of software, you know, something like 90% of users only use 10% of the functionality. I'm always keen to hear with these sort of apps and platforms from, you know, you guys that build it, what are the bits that you love in the system that you think people might not even realize that they can be using? We've obviously talked a bit about models and observations. Are there any sort of other go-to areas that people might be missing, particularly even that we're already using PredictWind that are listening to this today?
We have talked about weather routing, and so weather routing for power boats is probably something that people don't realize that we do, and it's something that we've actually just done a bunch of work on. And you might go, oh well, why would I care? I'm just gonna go, you know, I'm gonna go from here to there, basically, yeah, yeah. You know, follow the rum line. But what that is really, what we've done in there is it'll, for that route, it will take into account your wind drag, and you might have a constant speed that you want to go at, or RPM, and so it can do some fuel efficiency stuff there, because it's seeing how much, you know, how much drag is created by the wind. Also takes into account your hull parameters, but what the output that's giving will give you, it'll calculate the wind wave, the primary swell, the secondary swell, and the tertiary swell. So basically what we're talking about is, am I going to get beat up or not? And I think that, you know, once people sort of see that and realize that, so that some of the sailors have been getting really excited about it, because it works for them too, you know, so it's giving you an output of, along that route, what's your roll going to be? What's your vertical acceleration? So that's, you know, basically what I didn't realize, but apparently you can make anyone seasick with the right amount of vertical acceleration.
Right.
And it also gives you boat slamming. I mean, I think that's super cool.
Yeah.
You know, other things that I think people probably don't use that are, you know, at a lower level are the alerts. So we have forecast and observation alerts. So you can set it up like, I want to go, you know, winging or kiting on this day. And so you might put, you know, anytime the wind is this direction and it gets above the strength, you might want to do that. Or if I want to go fishing, you know, for me, the best day fishing is when it's not actually windy at all. And so I can, you know, get alerted to when these conditions are going to be in the forecast.
Wow.
The other side of that
is cool.
Yeah, the other side of that is the observation. So I might be out there and I might know that there's going to be a front coming through in the afternoon. And so I could set up an alert for an observation that is possibly going to get hit by that quite a bit before I do. And so then I know that that's coming, and so I'll be alerted, oh, that's, you know, that observation over there is just spiked up to 30 knots. You know, it might be 20, 30 kilometers away or whatever. Yep. It's time to go in. So I'm not going to get caught out. Yeah, I think that's actually a pretty cool one that I don't think many people realize they can do.
No, I mean, I've been doing it manually for years, but that's a really nice feature, because often in the lead up to something coming to give you a bit of a hiding at sea, you've got a few other things on as well other than just checking your phone. So it's nice to have that pinging through and coming at you as an observation. Well, thanks so much for joining us today, Nick. I think that's been really, really useful. We'll have a link in Predict Wind or to Predict Wind in the show notes. We've also, you know, we've got information about this as some of our most recommended weather in all of the courses we've got, the Central Nav, Day Skipper, Yachtmaster. And there's a lot about the weather routing as well and how you can use that for short and long trips in the online skipper course. So, Nick, thank you. And it's been great to have you here. Did you have any kind of closing thoughts before we wrap up today, mate?
No, I mean, thank you very much for having us. You know, if you do have any questions, feel free to reach out to our support team. They're a cool group of people, you know. They're here in New Zealand. They know, well, most of them are. Some of them are in France. But they, you know, they know a lot about boating. That's what they do. You know, they might be spend some of their time doing deliveries or that sort of thing, you know, or ex-Volvo Ocean Race sailors. You know, if you've got some questions, ask them about Predict Wind. They're super helpful.
Fantastic. All right. Well, I'm going to wrap up here. And thanks again, Nick. That's been fantastic.
Thank you so much.